Now I want to introduce you to Britt Williams, who will be sharing our scripture with us today. It is from the book of Acts, chapter 11.
Today's scripture is Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Thanks be to God for the gift of Scripture.
Thanks, Britt. Britt's our new children's ministry coordinator. I'm just really pleased to have her here. I know that's an odd way to introduce her to the congregation, but we wanted you to sort of see her visually and meet her, and I look forward to the time that she'll be serving, and many of our families will get to know her better, and so I'm just really grateful, Britt, that you're a part of our team. I wonder if you'd bow your heads and share with me in a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, would be acceptable to you. Wherever the sermon is heard, whenever the sermon is heard, I pray that your Holy Spirit will use it to speak to someone. And I pray that it would be meaningful. So guide the one who preaches in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, remember, they told you at the very beginning, have some water. At the very end of the sermon, I'm going to ask you to use this water in a moment to remember your baptism. So if you'd have that nearby, that'll help you. Right now, many of us are thinking a lot about community. Community. The impact of the timeline of this pandemic is longer than anything we could have imagined back in March. I know it certainly feels that way to me. And so the question that we have is, as we continue the journey, how do we continue community and maintain community with our family, our friends, our church, and in all the spaces that we go? And I don't mean just seeing people on occasion. I mean, how do we have community? Many of us have been missing that. It's also a concern for our children. Parents are worried about community for their children, and this is why the question of going back to school is so difficult. On the one hand, parents are concerned about sending their kids back to school. Will it be safe for health? But on the other hand, if they don't go back to school, what will be the quality of education? And they'll have missed the community that school inherently creates for their child. And there are no easy solutions. And there are no easy questions. There's nothing obvious to do here. That's why it's taking everyone a while just to figure this out. And that's true whether you have children or not. In your own life, you're trying to figure out community, I bet. History has its eyes on us right now. In 20 years, people will look back on this time and this moment, and the question will be, were they creative enough to figure that problem out? How to have community? Did they seek new opportunities, or did they just let it fall apart? History has its eyes on us, and it's looking to see if we will make decisions that will lead to deeper faith and greater hope. Keep that in mind today as we consider the timely question of the baptismal covenant that we're looking at this week. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at each of the questions in the baptismal covenant. And as we've done that, I really have discerned over time those questions are a pathway to Christian discipleship. Friends, I'll tell you something. I knew that before when I used to stand here and baptize children. It's right here. But I know it in a way now that I never thought about those questions before. If you think about these questions, you create a path in your life, and that path is the way that we follow Jesus. And so the final question is the one that's before us today. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? Now take a look at that question again. Every time a child has been baptized, every time someone is confirmed, someone joins the church, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? And friends, that question didn't go away simply because we can't gather in one body. It's still with us. We still are looking for community in that way. Now, this was a question that the early church had to face as well. They didn't know it, but they were dealing with that same question. We find that in the book of Acts. They were also trying to figure out how to build community in a very historic and a very difficult time. It was a time of crisis, and on the one hand, they had a problem. The early church was being persecuted. For some time, they had taught others about Christ. They had received new people into their fellowship. They had taught one another and encouraged one another. They had been the body of Christ together, but now they were being persecuted. And because of being persecuted, they scattered. No longer did they meet in large groups together. They scattered, and everybody met in little pockets, and they did that for their health and their safety. Does that sound familiar? On the other hand, they had an opportunity. So they had a problem, persecution, they had an opportunity. The opportunity was people wanted to know about Jesus. Sometimes when they went to synagogues as Jewish people and they began to talk about this Jesus who is the Messiah, other Jewish people started to say, I'd like to know more. And they developed relationships, and pretty soon people accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And sometimes those people were Gentiles. When they scattered out of Jerusalem, many of them went to the city of Antioch. Antioch is in Syria. It's a crossroads city. All the trade routes came through Antioch, and they met people from all over the world, and they told them about Jesus, and many people said, I want to stay and learn more. And so the early church began, even in a time of being scattered, it continued to grow organically. It was a powerful time to figure out the question, how do we nurture one another in the Christian faith? The good news was that the church was full of these diverse people, Jews and Gentiles. The bad news was these new converts knew little or nothing about Jesus. So they had to figure all of this out. And they were tripping over one another all the time. If you read the book of Acts, you see this. They were from diverse backgrounds, diverse religions, diverse cultures, and they were just pulling that ball of tangled yarn together all the time, and it was hard for them. They were trying to understand, what does it mean if we walk together in the kingdom of God as a community? And friends, community is something you have to create. It doesn't just happen. That's what you're experiencing right now. It takes a lot of intentionality to find community, and so they discovered two things. Number one, they discovered they needed each other. We need each other. We need each other. And the first thing they did was to turn to the instruction of the original disciples. They sent a message out to Jerusalem. The ones that knew those disciples, the original disciples who walked with Jesus, they stayed in Jerusalem. That was sort of headquarters. And so they sent word out. They said, hey, we've got a bunch of new Christians and we don't know what to do. And those early disciples sent a master gardener to nurture these new Christians. His name was Barnabas. And Barnabas, when he showed up, by the way, Barnabas' nickname was Son of Encouragement. That's what was on the back of his t-shirt, the Son of Encouragement. Sounds like the right person. And when he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. He was glad, and he encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord. All to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Barnabas was a good man, full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So we can see Barnabas did this work readily and joyfully. And I think this lesson that we need one another, it's what we see in the book of Acts, but it's really one that we're experiencing right now, isn't it? I mean, all of us need a Barnabas, but I would also argue that you've been coming to church for years, many of you. This is your time to be a Barnabas. This is your time to intentionally take the vow you made, child after child, adult after adult, seriously, and to ask yourself this, what's my responsibility right now to nurture others? Because friends, can I tell you something? In this pandemic, it's really tempting to just sort of sit back and be passive and say, what can other people do to serve me? And what I love is that so many of you have not done that. You've stepped up and you've said, what can I do to serve the community? Who needs food? Who needs masks? Who needs whatever? And now I'm asking you to think about this. How can you step up to encourage other people in their Christian faith? That's our job as Christians. It's not just the pastor's job. It's everybody's job. And goodness knows, this is a time, I think you'd agree, this is an all hands on deck season. All of us doing this together. The encouragement of real, live, three-dimensional people is what most of us really miss. And we want to stay safe as we do this. We want to diminish the impact of the pandemic. But at the same time, we've got to find ways to create community and to do it safely and properly. And this is especially true if you're newer to the faith. And so I want to encourage you to nurture your faith and then to nurture one another. How do you nurture your faith? Well, tune into the Daily Lift this week. If you get the Floris app, if you download that, you'll get the Daily Lift once a day. And it's a short devotion. And this week, we're going to talk about the Tent of Meeting. Now, the Tent of Meeting is from the book of Exodus. It's where the children of Israel went, and they met the presence of God there. We've got a tent out in our parking lot right now. And it made me think about the Tent of Meeting and how they went there to meet God. Do you have a tent of meeting in your life? If you'll tune in to the Daily Lift each day, you're going to find that we're going to give you tips on how to do that. But it's time to dust off your prayer journal. It's time to start a new reading plan in the Bible. It's time to get an accountability and an encouragement partner who just maybe calls you every so often and says, hey, how's your walk with Christ going? And if you're saying, Tom, I've never had that kind of a prayer. I've never done something like that. Well, friend, now's the time. I mean, you've know somebody in this church, don't you? You know somebody in your life, a friend, who you could call and say, would you just encourage me and hold me accountable in the faith? It's time to do a new practice. I talked to somebody just today who said they have an Alexa, you know, the Amazon Alexa, and they've created a prayer list on Alexa. And during the day, when they feel like praying, they say, Alexa, share my prayer list with me. And Alexa reads off the names that they've placed in there. And this person told me that it really helps them because they don't necessarily have a one moment in the day that they want to pray, but they have multiple times, but they're not good at carrying a list and all that. I would have never thought of that. You do what helps you create that tent of meeting where you go to the Lord and nurture your faith. Second, I want to encourage you to find your people. Find five or six other people and make a proposal to them. Reach out to them one by one or have a Zoom call and do it all at once and say, what if we got together once a week for a Zoom meal or a very social, safe, social distance outside experience? What if we would do that with each other? Reach out to five or six people and just create your group. Find your people. And if you'll do that, you could have a meal again, on Zoom, you could talk to one another. Friends, if you're feeling lonely right now, loneliness was a national problem before the pandemic, and the studies are showing that the number is going up. You're not the only one who's feeling alone. And do it for 2 months. It's not a forever thing. But if you get to the end of 2 months and you're really enjoying it, guess what? You've got some people. We need each other. How are we doing this? Also, join a life group. And if you don't have a life group where you're studying the Bible, and some of our life groups are not meeting this summer, so there are fewer of them, if you really want one though, contact Bill Gray or Carol Edwards here at our church, and we will help you find a life group. And if three or four people call and say, hey, we want to do this, we'll help you create that group yourself. In this historic time, everything takes a lot of intentionality. Nothing just happens. And so make community happen in your life. Don't be lonely. We need each other, and our children need us too. So I want to tell you something about next week. Next week, we're going to kick off Vacation Bible School on Sunday. It's going to begin on July the 26th. That's Sunday, 7 days from today. At this service at 9:15, all we're going to do at this service at 9:15 is a Vacation Bible School kickoff. We're going to serve the 125-plus families who have signed up for Vacation Bible School. I think that's the number. If I don't have the number right, it's okay. But my point is this. It's a lot of families, and we want those kids to feel really special. You know why? Because those kids can't do anything right now that they usually do. So we're going to turn this service into a kickoff. And if you usually worship here and you're thinking, I don't want to do Vacation Bible School, then join us at 11, 7 days from today, and there'll be a normal worship service. You won't miss a beat. And if you're thinking right now, I can't believe they're disrupting my time slot, friend, I can only tell you one thing. You sat in this sanctuary and you said, I will nurture those children, and I'm giving you an opportunity to do it in 7 days, because we're going to use this time to do that. And here's what I know. There's not going to be one complaint about that, because we are in a community together that values children and wants more for our kids than we have the capacity to give them right now. So we're going to just do our best. So I appreciate your participation that way of not minding. I also want to tell you, because we're an inclusive church and we're a diverse church, just like the early church, I'm going to use my Facebook page, the Reverend Tom Berlin Facebook page, on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. I'm going to have a Facebook Live event called, I'm going to call it The Work We Want to Do. Friends, if you're a white person in America, there's a lot of work to do. And I don't think it's work we have to do. I think it's work we want to do. We want to improve and get better at knowing our history, understanding the terms people are using, and hearing from other people that might be different from you or from me, tell their stories, their personal testimonies. That's a normative part of the Christian faith. And that's what we're going to do over these six sessions. So I hope you'll join me. I think it's going to be really interesting. I'm going to be doing this with other members of our congregation. So you're going to get to know some people you don't know right now. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. So join me on Facebook Live for that event. I'm going to figure out a way to take that recording and post it somewhere else. If you don't have Facebook, we'll figure it out. I haven't figured it out yet. Number two, we need each other. Number two, we need Jesus. I know I should have made that number one, but I thought I'd just save it. Friends, if there's ever been a time when we need Jesus, it is right now. It's right now. These new disciples were spiritual infants, and they didn't know how to walk the way of Christ without falling over, without bouncing around. And let me ask you something. Have you been feeling a little unsteady yourself lately? Have you been feeling like maybe you're sort of wandering off the path a little bit, not necessarily in sin, but just feeling out of sorts because you can't practice your faith the way you once did? Well, that's what the early church felt too. They could see the way of Christ's love was a better way of life, and they could also see that it was going to require change and transformation within them. And so Barnabas had to think about this. How do I help them follow Jesus and really get to know Jesus? And so let me read to you what Barnabas did. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. So Barnabas knew he needed people too. He reached out and grabbed Saul. And then when he found him, he brought Saul back to Antioch, where this community of new believers was living. And for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. It's the first time they used the term. Friends, I really do believe history's got its eye on us right now. I think in 20 years, they're going to make documentaries. People are going to talk about this time. And here's what I want you to think. What would it be like if they called us Christians at this time? What if they said, you know, that Flourish United Methodist Church, those people really lived it. Those people blessed the community. Those people cared for one another. Those people had joy instead of despair. Those people, they went to the mat for one another and for people they had never met, because that's what Christ led them to do. Well, the only way that's going to happen is if you and I recognize we need each other, but we need Jesus. We need to remind ourselves regularly the way that Jesus would have us live right now. For a whole year, Barnabas and Paul met with those early Christians to help them grow and mature in their faith. They knew they had infants who were learning to walk in the way of Christ. You know, I have a friend right now who has an infant in her home. Well, it's a couple, friends of ours. And they've got this infant, and it is a grandson who has come home. And I want to tell you something. That child is royalty. He is royalty. You know what they do with him? They put him in a royal coach. And they carry him. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything. He just sits in the royal coach and he waves at people. And people are lining the street to see this child. But he's royalty, so nobody can get too close to him. And he just waves at them, and the people wave, and the people smile, and they adore this child. Everybody who meets him does. And this child, he is fed sumptuous meals, and he is bathed and clothed, and then the night he's put to bed, and they tuck in the sheets around him, and then they talk about how fabulous he was when he's out of the room. And he is adored. But I'll tell you something else about this child. He's an infant, and so he doesn't really know how to walk well. They have rearranged the furniture. They have an adult on demand all the time who walks behind this child or walks in front of this child just to make sure he doesn't bump or bruise himself. Now, friends, here's what I want you to think about. If you want people to grow up in Christ, you have to care for them a little bit like that. Barnabas and Saul knew that they were dealing with spiritual infants, so what did they do? They knew sometimes these people were going to fall. They knew sometimes they were going to go in places they should not go and reach for things they should not have. And Barnabas and Saul watched after this group, but most importantly, they encouraged them. Most importantly, they instructed them. They taught them. Because they wanted them to one day know Jesus so well that they were on the journey and could walk with Jesus by themselves. We always walk in community as Christians, but we also have to walk by ourselves. We have to grow up. And friends, the question I want to ask you is this: are you helping anybody else know Jesus? Because sometimes we say, you know what, that's the Sunday school teacher's job down in Kid Nation. You know, that's the student ministry leader's job, that volunteer who shows up and helps my kid. Sometimes we say, you know what, that's the pastor's job to go visit the older people or to go visit the sick people or whoever, the people in distress. But right now, friends, it's all hands on deck in community. We need each other and we need Jesus. And my question to you that I want you to think about is this: are you nurturing anybody in the Christian faith? Are you encouraging anybody? Are you writing the letter? Are you making the phone call? Are you talking to a niece or a nephew, a son or a daughter about what it means to follow Jesus? Are you thinking about the friend who's wandering off the path, maybe not into sin, maybe into apathy and depression? And are you encouraging them? They need Jesus, and you might be the person that helps them reconnect or connect for the very first time. You know, I was watching a short film this past week, and it was about a man who makes ceremonial swords, Japanese swords. This is an ancient craft, and he is one of 30 people in the world who does this. And as I watched the video about this man, it's just so obvious the skill and the time and the effort he puts into it. And so I want you to watch this short video about this Japanese man who makes swords.
伝統工芸に携わっている人間は、どうしても自分の技術を伝えていこうとする場合に、時代に迎合する方向に走っていきます。そうすることによって、我々の持っている技術が少しずつ本質を外れていくんです。ですけれども、本質を外してまで伝統文化を次の世界に伝えていくってことは意味のないことだと思います。 弟子には いつか私を超えてほしいと思っています。私より優れた弟子を育てることが私の役目であり、そうでなければ文化というものは風化してしまうものです。私が師匠から受け継いだのは技術だけではありません。師匠の刀に対する思いを受け継ぎました。私も弟子には私の刀の思いを伝えていきたいと思いますし、
His name is Kurenya Watanabe. And when he started as a young man, if you watch the longer video, he says, you know, I just started wanting to make great swords. He wanted to master the craft that was done in ancient times. But then as he became an older person, as he matured, he said his big goal was to craft a disciple who would excel his abilities in making the sword. In other words, he wanted to leave behind not just some swords, he wanted to leave behind a person who was a master at making the swords and exceeded his ability. Now, here's my question to you. There is one master, his name is Jesus. Our job is to get to know Jesus so well, but are you going to leave behind anyone who might have the potential to live the Christian life in a way that's a deeper level of discipleship, a deeper level of love, and a deeper level of God's goodness than you have right now? You're growing, you're mastering this. But do you think about who you're leaving behind? Because friends, we need each other and people need Jesus. And during this historic time, what I'd like you to think about is, are you a part of that work? What if we learn the ways of Jesus so well that we came to know the Master himself and then helped others meet him? If we're going to do that, we're going to have to think about it. Now, what I'd like you to do now is to, let's just do something together. It's so hard to do anything together, isn't it? What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to take some water, and I hope you've had it there. If you don't, you know, now's the time. And I just want you to take the water, and I want you to remember the baptismal font at Florus. And I want you to remember how many people have been baptized, how many people have come to know Christ, how many families have stood up before us. And we promised something. We said, we will nurture you in the faith. And then we took the water and we baptized them. What I want you to do is to remember your baptism. Lord, I pray that the water that everyone is touching in their homes would be a water that would remind them of their baptism, the cleansing of our sins, the joy and the insealing of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that as we place this on our forehead, we might remember that we are with each other and we are with you. We need each other and we need Jesus. Amen. Now I invite you to take your finger and put it in the bowl and just make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Just take it and feel that. If you're at home with others, you can do this for one another if you'd like. And as you do it, just say, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, remember your baptism and be thankful.